Well, thank you, Sister Johnson. It's my privilege to be here tonight. Appreciate Brother Parsons asking me to speak. He was kind of hinting around. He said, you know, it's the week of my wife and I's anniversary, and we got a chance to be gone just a few days, and if I had somebody to preach for me on Sunday night, I could go. And I said, on that condition, I'll do it, because I don't know anybody that needs to take off anymore. He's a hardworking man, and his wife right with him all the time on everything. And so it's a treat for me to know they're gone and taking a little break. I told him, I said, I know you can't do it, but do your best to turn your mind off and leave a bunch of stuff at home and just take a few days. Amen. I did like to see this morning one of the deacons, Brother Grafton, give them the flowers and recognize the fact they've been married a while, they've got a great family, and they're serving the Lord together. And I think our church is just blessed to have somebody that works as hard as Brother Parson does. I worry about him overdoing it sometime. I have been told that in the early years a few folks worried about me, but I understand, brother. You get under the burden and you just know where to stop and know where to take a break sometime. You just have to keep on going. So I do kind of the privilege to be with you tonight. Brother Burt said, you know, the crowd looking a little bit thin. He said, they probably didn't hear about you being. I said, they may have. They may have. That may be the trouble. But it's kind of home to me, amen. My wife and I got things a little bit backwards. We've been going to cold country when it was cold up there and staying here in the hot when it was hot. Now, it ought to be well to reverse that. We ought to smarten up about that a little bit. You know, we got things a little backwards. I know the crowd I'm preaching to, so I'm going to tell an old joke that illustrates that. And a few of you will get it. You ever hear the little moron jokes? Oh, you are not very positive about that. Little moron jokes. A little moron thought he was built backwards because his nose ran and his feet smelled. I told you it'd just be a few of you get that. But when some of us was in school, that was the rage, right? Little moron, so why'd he salute the icebox? Because it was General Electric. Corn, man, just pure corn, but it's okay. All right. Amen. Oh, shut up there. Somebody explain it to him. I was thinking about the Betancourt family. A brother, Bert, introduced them as the choir. They do a good job. But have you noticed something about young people? When they're about this high, they can sing like crazy, loud. They're not ashamed. They're not shy. But as they get older, teenagers start having complexes, and all of a sudden, it's kind of quiet. You've noticed that? Well, things do change, don't they? Amen. I'm not changing much. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I had asked Brother Burke a while ago when I came out here if he would put in the song service, "Hold the Fort for I Am Coming." And that's kind of going to be a little bit on the theme, I guess, I'll be on tonight. And most of you are not shocked by that. We'll read a text in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start in about verse 35. And of course, over here, Paul has talked to him about this. He starts off to kind of give a little bit of a setting to it. He says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience," more, don't we? "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And here it is, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Yeah. I believe he's coming. I believe we're closer and certainly than ever before. Amen. Any of you ever have kids when you take a trip and you couldn't hardly get out of the city limits before they'd say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we near home yet?" My boy was fairly young. I don't believe he got much out of the city limits before he'd start saying that. "Are we there yet?" Well, then after he got on up older, like 13 or 14, he'd do it on purpose just to aggravate us, to remind us of what he used to do when he was 7 or 8. Amen. "Are we there yet?" And as I go around and meet person after person and here in the church and everywhere else, I was in a place of business. I don't believe those people have ever been in this building, but they came to me very quickly. "Preacher, how close are we getting?" Because things are happening. Attention is being directed to some of the things that are happening, even by the crowd out there that may not be church attenders, may not know much about the Bible, but they know something is about to happen. And you know, I think about those trips like a kid and saying, "Are we there yet?" I remember we had started living in Alabama, about 250 miles from the farm in Georgia. And I remember when we'd travel back during the war when you couldn't get tires and gas. Oh, yeah, we've been through these times before. And I remember as my brother and I in the back seat of the old car, as we began to get closer to the old farmhouse, closer into where we were born there in Georgia, I remember more and more as we'd see something familiar, we'd see a sign, and we'd say, "We're almost there. We passed this house. We passed this farm. We passed this place." And, you know, as we begin to get really close, you know what we do? Now, we're in an old-fashioned car. You could stand up in the back seat, between the back seat and the front seat. And Harvey and I'd stand up. We'd get to cheering on. Let's go. I actually believe Daddy might have speeded up just a little bit, because we knew we were getting there. We were near in the place we wanted to be. And we'd see some of the signs along the way. And I want to give you the answer to that right here in the text that we just read. Are we there yet? Well, look at it here in verse 37 of Hebrews 10. "For yet a little while." There's your answer. "For yet a little while. And he that will come and will not tarry." That's the answer. Oh, yes, yeah, I've heard that all my life. That's okay. You're closer tonight than you were the first time you heard it. That's for sure. "Yet a little while." So I'm gonna answer the question in three areas, and you know, you pray for me. I do not plan to be long. Do you know I never plan to be long? In 50 years, I never planned to be long. But some of you are witness to the fact it did happen on occasion. I hope not tonight. In fact, if it gets too long, I'll just walk out. I want to talk to you in three areas about where we're at tonight, where we're at presently. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 1 around verse 4, Paul says over there, he calls this place we're at the present evil world. Man, is that accurate? The present evil world. Now, that's obvious as you see the news. I mean, as you look around, you know, we're rejoicing, as Brother Parson said this morning, over the good decision of the Supreme Court, but it's 50 years late. And during that 50 years, and it's more than this, but I've seen this stat, and it's in my mind, 53 million abortions. Amen. From a mistake, because it never was in the Constitution. And finally, we got a few honest people that admit that. Right. And thank God they are. But somebody says, "Well, you know, it's too late." No, it's not too late for the abortion clinics that did not abort a baby after the decision come out. Right. I think about the man and his friend walking along the seashore, and starfish had been washed up by the night and was left on the beach. And when the hot sun come up, it was going to kill them. And his friend began to reach down and pick up one and throw it back in the water. Save it. Throw it back in the water. Let it live again. Throw it back in the water. And as he did that, his friend said to him, "You can't pick them all up. Yeah, you can't get them all." He said, "No, but the one I just threw back, it's important to him." Yeah. And every baby that was saved, it's important. Amen. It's important. And yes, thank God, many of them on that very day, the Supreme Court made that decision, were not aborted. I mean, man, can you think about it? In the nick of time, an abortion clinic shut down because it now was illegal to do what they'd done the day before.
Right.
Present evil world is a good description. It's obvious as we look in the news how evil things really are. People rioting in the streets because they might lose the right to kill their offspring. That's worse than the animal world. Most any animal will fight you over their babies. When I was a little boy and the old setting hen sat on the eggs, I learned very quick that that mother hen would protect those little biddies, we called them, those little chicks. You ever been flogged by a hen? If you're young enough, it works. And especially if the rooster gets in on it, amen? But the truth of the matter is, we're in a present evil world. That is obvious. You look around today and you see the homosexual perversion everywhere that you look. I can't hardly stand it when I see the so-called gay pride marches here in Florida, over in St. Pete, Disney and others. What are you proud about? Proud of being a pervert? Proud of being an abomination? That's what God calls you in the Bible. It's an awful, awful thing. And yet the attitude is, everybody, look at us. We are proud of who we are. You won't be proud when you stand before God about it. Our president's doing a lot of talking about protecting and giving rights to and doing all these special privileges for the LGBTQ community. Don't forget the Q. It'd be a queer thing for you to forget the Q. Amen. That's sickening, folks. It really is. It really, really is. And if you want to see where we're at, look over in 1 Timothy, women. We'll turn over there. I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn to it. Just look at it. I know you know the verses, but look at it again. Sometimes we get so familiar, we forget how literally these things are being fulfilled. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, I know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're in perilous times. We're blessed in Florida. We're blessed in this little city. We're blessed in Polk County to not be in the danger that a lot of people wouldn't dare go out after dark to go to the store and back where they live. We do live in perilous times, and we see much of it in the news. It says here that men will be lovers of their own selves. Has there ever been any more evidence of that than we see today? Amen. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And I want you to get this next statement, verse 3, without natural affection. I mean, it's unbelievable how that a mother would want to kill a baby. I mean, I've known some that said, oh, I didn't intend to get pregnant. I didn't intend to have another child. And I'd say, well, just wait. When that baby was born, that mother would give her life for it. All of a sudden, I can name people. Sometimes women's men too say things they don't mean. And then when reality hits in, it's a big difference.
Right.
It's a big difference. But we are living in a time when natural affection is abated. When people are turning their backs on things that our grandparents would never have thought this day and age could have come upon us.
Amen.
Our age, lack of natural affection, crime today. Have you ever seen the beat of that? I mean, we live in a day and time when the criminal can kill somebody. They'll put him in jail on Saturday night, let him out on Monday, and have the trial of the policeman that arrested him on Tuesday. That's how crazy things have moved to. It is unbelievable. And these district attorneys in California and other places just letting them go and do it again. And do it again. Now, we are presently in that time of a present evil world that we read about Paul talking about here in Galatians chapter 1. But where are we not only presently, but where are we prophetically? And I have even a reputation among preachers that I can't hardly preach without saying something about prophecy because I see it being fulfilled in front of my eyes. And I'm looking around today, and what I'm seeing in the crowds I see portrayed on TV is the tribulation crowd. They're not going to look any different in the Antichrist kingdom in the midst of the tribulation than they're looking right now. And as Christians, and our preacher here preaches a lot about it, you ought to care how you look. You ought to care how you talk. You ought to care about your testimony. I know we live in an age when they'll dye the hair red and green and I don't know, purple and whatever else. But I want to tell you, I don't want to look like that crowd. I want to look like a crowd that might know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, your outward appearance, yes, man looks at it. And it's a signboard saying, how do you feel on the inside? So it is a good thing for us to be careful about our testimony. I do believe we're seeing the tribulation crowd. I mean, this old thing, I heard a fella, he was holding a so-called rainbow flag, and boy, what a blasphemy of the rainbow. But he was holding a rainbow flag, and he said, he was talking this way. He said, use the right pronouns. He said, I don't want to be called a he. I don't want to be a she. I thought, well, what are you, a shim? You're somewhere in the middle. But he said, you know, and he said his goal, now he looked more like a man than a woman, but he said, my goal is to marry another gay man. Do you understand that fallen President Biden, they're talking about this guy running for president who's married to another man? Oh, yeah. Now, here's the thing. If he were to win, who would be the first lady? It'd be a little problem, wouldn't it? Maybe he'd be called the first lady. I don't know. Crazy stuff going on, folks. But that's where we are prophetically. Things are happening fast. You know, Jesus gave the analogy of it be like it was in the days of Noah. It'd be like it was in the days of Lot. If you'll read those stories closely, you will find out things built and they built and they built. And finally, in one day, it happened. In the same day that Noah went into the ark, the rain began to fall. The same day that Lot came out of Sodom, pulled out by the angels, the judgment fell. The same day. We get this idea we're going to watch something a long way off and it's going to keep coming and we're going to have plenty of time to fix up everything before. No, it may happen just in that, what the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. Quickly. Things are happening fast today. There's no doubt about it. We're looking around and seeing the wars today. And while Russia's attacking Ukraine, and Ukraine was somewhat a part of their territory to start with and all that, but I believe it may be the trigger that fills some Bible prophecy that's been laying in this book for 2,000 years. I really do. I believe we're moving that way. I found it interesting this week. One of the high Russian officials, right close to Mr. Putin on his staff, was threatening us, which he has been threatening. I mean, Putin has been threatening over a nuclear attack for this whole thing from us helping Ukraine. All that I understand. But that high Russian official said, if you send these weapons or these different kind of weapons, you may be unleashing, and here's what he said, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Revelation chapter 6. I thought, you do know something, don't you? Well, he's dead right. That's exactly what could be happening. You read about the seven seal book that Jesus takes from him that's on the throne and begins to open the seals. And when you get to chapter 6 of Revelation and you begin to open the seals, you see the horseman show up on a white horse. That's the Antichrist, the fake one. He's going to claim he's got peace, and the next horse is the red horse, and that's war. And that's what the Russian was talking about. The four horsemen of the apocalypse is a historical thing that's been written about, novels written about it, because it's a prediction of war and famine and finally death that is predicted. And we're so close to that right now. We're just not quite there yet. Just a little while. And it's going to finish off. China and Russia have been drawn together. over this Ukraine thing. You know, we've done a dumb, of course, I say we've done a dumb thing. Our Congress hadn't done a smart thing in a long time. Do you know we're financing both sides of the Ukraine war? Let me explain how. We put sanctions on Russia, and what we have done is we've caused the oil, as we've attacked it here in America, as the Biden administration shut down the pipelines, as, you know, gas was $1.87 out here at this service station when Trump lost the election. What is it now? Go down there and buy it now. $5 in many places higher, you're going to pay for it. And it happened fast, didn't it? But do you understand that when we got involved and we put sanctions on Russia and we attacked the oil industry here in America, what we done, we caused a barrel of oil to go to $100. And as Russia was then able to sell to China, and it caused them to pick up $1 billion to finance their war in Ukraine. And then we give $1 billion a month to Ukraine. So look what we're doing. Inadvertently, we are financing it through Russia, and then we're giving $1 billion to fight back. So we're paying for both sides of the war. Did you get that? I said they haven't done a smart thing in Washington in a long time. We're not doing anything very smart. We're fulfilling the Bible, though, as it goes. Things are happening fast. Wars are part of it. Sure they are. No doubt about it. Financing both sides of this thing. And President right now is over there begging for oil. Now look at the hypocrisy of this thing. Begging for oil while he's telling America to go green and not drill for any oil. Right. Now these people he's going to, most of them are enemies anyhow. Right. He's not fooling them. He's telling them to do what he won't let us do. Oh, listen, I don't want to get off on that too far except to say it's fulfilling the Bible. You go over to Revelation chapter 6. I just referred to it again a while ago. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "See that you touch not the oil and the wine." And in fact, I'm going to go to it. And I don't have it marked. Turn with me because I want to show you something else. What are we wrestling with right now in America? We're wrestling with high gas prices, oil, and we're wrestling with inflation. Say, where's the inflation? Go to the grocery store. Amen. Buy a loaf of bread. Right. Buy some groceries. And here's what you'll find. Revelation chapter 6. Pick it up in about verse 6. In verse 6, I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts say, here's your inflation, here's your grocery store. A measure of wheat for a penny. 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This is when the horsemen of the apocalypse were riding. Now, you know what that's saying? 3 measures of barley for a penny. I've had some fellows I've read where they figured this up a little bit. They say that inflation is going to be so bad, it'll take the husband and the wife working to have enough money to bring food home for one day. So what in the world? We're close. We're seeing this stuff very close. They say you can't even get baby formula off the shelves anymore. I mean, something's wrong, folks. Can't we see something is wrong? But I tell you what is true about it, and that is that the Bible's being fulfilled. Prophetically, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And the news is being fulfilled. We're very close. Ezekiel 38, the war with Iran and Israel. Israel will not sit by like America does as Iran gets a nuclear weapon to blow them off the map. Just a little while, that's going to happen. In just a little while. Yeah, we're not quite there yet, but in just a little while, it's going to happen. You know, we're living in that little period, that little while. Somebody said that a man's life, the book of James says, our life's like a vapor, appears for a little while and then vanishes away very quickly. Somebody said our life, if you go down to the cemetery and you look at the headstones, and you'll find out that John Doe lived here, date he was born, then there's a dash, the date he died. We're living in the dash. Our life is just a dash. It's just a vapor. It's a short period. It's coming to an end. And Jesus has promised us that he's coming back in a little while. That he won't tarry. That he that will return will return. The promise that he made that he would return, he is going to do it. He is going to keep it. And that's our blessed hope. That's our good news. In the midst of all the bad news, that's the good news. Because in Galatians 1:4, I referenced before, part of that verse says he'll deliver us from this present evil world. We got a deliverer coming, a deliverance coming. You know, he said another place in this world you'll have tribulation. He's not talking about the great tribulation on Israel. He's talking about the daily struggle of life. In this world you shall have tribulations, but he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
You're looking at an overcomer tonight.
Amen.
I don't like to hear the news. I can't hardly stand it. I turn it off a lot. But it don't scare me. I know who's in charge.
Amen.
And I know that Jesus has overcome it, and I'm going to overcome it through him.
Amen.
So I still have the victory. Amen. Where are we at tonight? Presently? Well, we're just not quite there yet, but we're in it. Prophetically, well, not quite finished, but we're in it. Just a little while more. Then personally, where are we at? Many fear today. The lost world out there knows, I started off saying, they know something big's about to happen. Yes, it is. And many fear. Now, you and I as believers, we're not to have a spirit of fear, and we all know that. And we understand he's going to deliver us from this present evil world. And we will have some tribulation until he comes. But the world does have a right to fear if they're not ready to face God. I believe Brother Parsons preached not long ago on prepare to meet God. Brother, that's a big warning. You know, when somebody gives you a warning, you ought to thank them for it. They're trying to save you from something bad. And when you come to a church that gives you a good warning and tells you how to miss being lost and dying and going to hell, you ought to be thankful instead of mad that somebody told you. I've seen some crazy things in my life. People trying to help you, and you get mad at them. Blame. I've told you before, but I remember getting on an airplane in the Chicago area to come to Orlando. And fly straight through to Orlando. I've done that a number of times. Plane was full. Almost every plane coming to Florida was full. And by the way, all their problems now. It wasn't quite so bad in those days. It hadn't been all that long. A few years ago, I got on the plane and I walked down the aisle and I found my seat, but somebody else was in it. And another man was sitting there, and I looked at my ticket thing there and looked back at him and looked at the number, and I said, you know, I believe you might be in my seat. No, this is my seat. Hostile from the first word. No, this is my seat. Well, I looked again and looked again, and I said, well, I hope they didn't sell the seat twice. And the man sitting with him said, you might ought to look at your boarding pass. And he said, no, this is my seat. Well, I sure didn't want to walk to Florida, and it looked like the only way to get there, so I stepped back and asked the stewardess about it. She come down there and said, sir, let me see your boarding pass. Now, he gave it to her reluctantly. And she said, sir, you're not only in the wrong seat, you're on the wrong plane. Now, you would think that guy would have got up and said, thank you, sir. I'd have wound up in the wrong place. I'm sorry. No, he didn't do that. I'm still standing there with my little old luggage thing, and he kind of roughly shoved by me, and here's what he said. I didn't have any problems till you showed up. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that might have shocked a lot of folks, but as a pastor, I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen over a much more serious thing than the wrong destination from one city to another. There's some folks going to wind up in the wrong place because they got mad at the folks that told them they were in the wrong seat.
Yeah.
And they were going to the wrong place. Sadly, we do run across that. In just a little while, that life dash is going to be used up. And the destination is going to arrive at. Truthfully, personally, a lot of folks do have a right to be afraid if they're not right with God, if they're not prepared to meet Him, if they're not in the right seat. Yes, God wants to deliver us from this present world. The world has a right to fear. You know, they do too. You read over in Revelation 1:7. You read over in Matthew 24. You read where when Jesus comes back in glory, when the clouds split open and the armies of heaven come down and He's leading them upon a white horse. You know what the scripture says? The tribes of this earth, planet Earth's people, will mourn in fear. In Revelation 6, it says they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face that He is on the throne. Scared of God, scared of the Creator, afraid of the Savior that died on the cross for them. Think about this right now. In your heart, if you have peace and you're not afraid of seeing Jesus, thank God for it. Because your neighbors and your friends and your co-workers, they have a great fear that what I'm saying may be true. And they're hoping somehow that as it gets closer, in a little bit of time, if it's true, they'll have time to get right. But men die as they live, in the midst of their living. And a lot of folks go get saved at the midnight hour and they die at 11 o'clock. They don't make it. Sadly, that is the truth. If you've got peace in your heart tonight, that facing Jesus would be a wonderful thing instead of a terrible thing, thank God for that. Oh, yeah. The world does have a right to fear. They're going to mourn at His sign. Matthew 24 says when they see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, that the tribes of the earth will mourn. You know, that's not us. When I hear the trumpet, that's a victory trumpet for me. Amen. Now I'm going to date myself a little bit. But when I was a kid, you could go see the shoot 'em ups, the movies. Black and white cowboy shows on Saturday. A few pennies. I remember when I got into the right here in Haines City for 9 cents. And finally, it got expensive, 12 cents. So how expensive is 12 cents? Very, if you don't have it. I remember going to those movies every time they changed, every Saturday. And generally we had a double feature. But you know what? We all have born in us to hate injustice, unfairness. Every little kid say, that's unfair. That's born within us. Well, you know those movies would start off with somebody being treated unfairly. Somebody mistreated. Somebody being done wrong. And we'd wait through all that movie because we were expecting the tables to be turned. We were expecting the hero to win in the end. Right. And guess what? They always did. Right. They always did. But we wanted that to happen. We waited for that to happen. And when it did begin to happen, we start cheering right there in the movie house. Here he comes. And by the way, most of the time riding on a white horse. Where'd they get that from? Book of Revelation, Jesus Christ coming back on the white horse of victory, leading the armies of heaven. Amen? Oh, yeah, He is coming, and we're going to hear the trumpet. Did you ever see a cowboy movie when the bad guys, in many cases the Indians, had attacked the wagon train, and everybody's in the ditch, and the end is about to come. But then all of a sudden, a trumpet sounds, and here comes the cavalry over the hill. Amen. Wonder where they got that from. Right out of the Bible. You know, it hadn't happened yet. We're not there yet. But just a little while. Amen. Just a little while. It's a victory trumpet we're going to hear. No doubt about it. I had Brother Bert sing the song, Hold the Fort, for I am coming. Amen. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. That's where we live right now. Amen. Waving back to heaven, by thy grace tomorrow, by thy grace the next day, by thy grace this week, by this your grace this month, but soon, the little while, it's going to be over.
Amen.
Soon, we're going to be there. I'm seeing the signs as we drive down the prophetical road. They're closer and closer together. They're more and more plain. They're definitely there.
Amen.
And we're getting close to our destination. Close to victory. I want to say to you, I praise God that souls are being saved in our church. I praise God that the ministry is going on and that Brother Parsons is working and leading so well. I do praise the Lord for that. But personally, I wouldn't mind getting out of here. Personally, I'd like to never have to do another funeral. Personally, where I'm at right now, I'm seeing some friends that a preacher is the pastor of the people, but there's more to it than that. There's friendships, there's relationships, there's bind, the tie that binds we sang about. Yes, very real. What's today, Sunday? Saturday. Yesterday, I was visiting one of our members, a man I had great respect for and do have great respect for. Knew him before I was a pastor and never had a dream that one day I would be his pastor. But he wanted to see me. His health is failing, of course. He's older than me. You know his health is failing. He's older than me. But loves the Lord. I heard him say yesterday, when I get up in the morning and look out the window, I say, Jesus, come on. He's had a great life, but it'd be better if Jesus came. I've had a great life. I can't complain. I can't list my regrets. My only regrets are I didn't do better here and there. But there's not a thing here I can't leave behind and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yeah? Are we there yet? Not quite. Just a little while. Just a little while, the text says. To me personally, it'll be a big welcome to see Jesus.
Amen.
To have no more tears, no more funerals. No more times of looking a loved one in the face and trying to find words to encourage them and give them hope when in my heart I know the disease is terminal and the time is short. You won't catch me fearing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think about what he says here, yet a little while. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Every now and then we say, Lord Jesus, if you tarry, you come. He's not tarrying, he's coming. He's coming on time.
Amen.
He hadn't told me the time, but he's told me some signs I can look and see and know that I'm getting close. Just a little while. Just a little while. If you came to church tonight, how do you feel about what I've been saying? Excited about the Lord coming or fearing his coming? That tells you a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
Are you sitting in the right seat tonight? The seat that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? The seat that's going to take you to the right destination because you've trusted him and he died for your sins and you've accepted that. And when you stand before God, you won't stand there and say, I was good or I was bad or I was better than somebody else. No, you'll stand before him saying, thank God that he died for all my sins. Because he did. I challenge you tonight if you don't know that. And I'll tell you how to test yourself. How do you feel about it? You feel fear or loving anticipation for it to happen? How do you feel about it? Examine yourself. How do you feel about it? If you don't feel victory and peace about the truth that Jesus is coming soon, then you ought to make sure you get saved, or if it's that sin you're holding on to after you were saved that you refuse to repent of, let go of it and get that peace that he's promised you. How about it tonight? Would you look in your heart? Would you look in your heart? Are you sitting in the right seat? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we who just preached on something that everybody knows and believes that's saved here tonight. But Father, if there be that one or several that have great fear over hearing that kind of talk, I pray they'd examine themselves. What is their destination? It's just a yet a little while and they're going to know for sure. But tonight they can come and know Jesus Christ as Savior. Pillow their head tonight and know that if they died in their sleep, they'd wake up in His presence, accepted into heaven because of Him. Father, I pray You'd bless the invitation. I pray if there's one young person or anybody in Radio Land or here in the building that needs Christ, that tonight they'd know they're living in just a little while. Things are going to change in a little while. How is it going to catch them? I pray, Father, that You'd bless in our midst and Your Holy Spirit would speak where I cannot speak and would be accepted in the heart of that one that He's drawing tonight to receive Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. I'll step down to the front. Brother Perkins will be down here. You need to come to the altar to pray. It might be, Lord, I know I'm saved and I just got a little while and I'm wasting time. God, forgive me. I do know some things I ought to be doing. Give me strength to do them. And then, Father, there might be that one that's never received Christ. Oh, listen. You've been warned tonight, maybe many times before, but again tonight, you're living in just a little while before He comes. Come and receive Christ tonight. Come as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
How about you?
I surrender all.
Have you received Christ? Do you look to His coming? The Bible speaks of us loving His appearing. He's our blessed hope. We don't fear it. We love it. Oh, we say, I don't want to see somebody else saved, but let's be honest. Are we witnessing to that somebody? Are we really trying to reach them? If we're not, we have no right to tell Jesus to wait. Got a loved one that's lost and you don't speak to them, talk to them, pray for them, all of that. I've had a lot of funerals as a pastor. I've heard a lot of people at the casket weeping and crying and shedding tears. And most of it, much of it, is because they have the guilt that they never talked to that lost loved one. That's a sad thing. I've seen some scenes where relatives cried, he was not prepared. He was not prepared. And the guilt they felt that because they had not tried to get them prepared. My hope tonight that you realize you've got just a little while. Just a little while.